Good morning, saints. You're welcome to the Sunday school this morning. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, shall we please rise on our feet? As we bow our heads for an opening prayer, I want to ask Brother Kennedy to please open us with a word of prayer this morning.
Almighty God, Lord Jesus Christ, O merciful Father, we look to you this morning again, O God.
Yes, Lord.
From whence cometh our help? Lord, our help comes from you.
Yes, Lord.
And Father God, each and every one that comes here today, Lord, we desire something. We need something, O Lord. And you can supply all our needs, O God. I pray you touch every heart, every soul, Lord Jesus Christ. O God, like the Greeks of old, we desire to see you, Lord Jesus Christ. May we see you in the preaching of your word, O God, this day. Bless your servants, O Lord, here and around the world. We commit everything into your hands. Take full control, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. 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 Thank you, my brother. Let's open our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll start from the first verse. And the Bible said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head covered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man." May the Lord bless his word. You can please have your seat. This morning we're going to continue in our topic we've been talking about on marriage and divorce. But this morning I want to come from this angle. Over the period of time, we can kind of find out that many people go into marriage for different reasons. Some think when they go into marriage is a cure to fornication. Some think going into marriage is just because others are getting married, so I have to marry. And some also think, okay, age is not on my side. I think I need to marry. But I realize that sometimes people forget that there are responsibilities that follow marriage. And I want to talk about those responsibilities this morning. That there are responsibilities on the side of the man and on the side of the woman. If we know what these responsibilities are, then I guess people will be able to advise themselves when a man that is not working and cannot fend for a home, he's talking about marriage. He advised himself. So because of time this morning, I want to go very fast. And but Abraham said, from the scripture we read, you heard what the scripture said about the head of every man is Christ. But Abraham, in the sermon Jehovah Jireh, he said, "Brother, if you ever amount to anything, you've got to love God better than your wife." You see, in all of our life, God has got to take priority.
Amen.
God has got to be first in all of our life. The prophet said, if you ever amount to anything, you've got to love God better than your wife. Say, your husband, your children, everything that there is, you've got to love God first. God gets first place. We give him about the 10th place sometimes, which is bad. We're all guilty of that. Sometimes we give God, we make God the second place in our life. I think the prophet made this statement that anything you put before God to you is an idol. That's a very strong statement. Anything that stays before God to you is an idol. Anything that comes before your prayer life, anything that comes before your studying of the scripture, anything that comes before church, anything that is an idol. And God doesn't want to share his glory with no man. And God doesn't want his children to put anything before him because he's a jealous God. See, but he deserves the best with God and first at all time in our life. God deserves the best that we've got, and God desires to be the first in our life at all times. And he went further down in the sermon, just one more time, Lord. He said, you never see man that was afraid to stand up and afraid of his little wife would leave him or something another because he took the initiative. He said, well, man, when men were men in them days, they spoke, they were men. They governed their house. They were the head of the house. So one of the major responsibilities to our men, before going into marriage, remember, you have got to be the head of your home. Amen. Let us not forget. Let us teach our children. We find something different in the world today. But the way God set it, the man has got to be the head of your home. And not just by words, not just by flexing of muscles. There are actions that you have to carry. There are responsibilities that you have to shoulder as a man of the house. Being a man is more than just wearing the pants. But being a man, you've got to take care of your responsibility, both financially, physically, spiritually, everything. You've got to be the head of your home. Amen. He said, now, in the sermon Future Home, God did not curse Adam. He might have done the same thing, but he caused the earth, thorns and thistles. He didn't curse Eve, but said Adam would be her ruler. You see that? God laid it down straight that Adam will be her ruler. He said, from now on, she's not trying any preaching on anything. Adam is our ruler. In questions and answers. See, and by the way, a man that will let his wife do that is guilty double of it. You see responsibility? If you let your wife do anything wrong, you are guilty double of it. Because he's supposed to be the one that has the say-so in the house. And that man can't even rule his own house. How could he rule the house of God? Some of you men that get, he said, I'll get that wishbone out of you and get a real he-man backbone in you and make your wife straighten up. Spank that little old daughter of yours running around on the street with some man, insult her, and then you go around wanting to have the man arrested. You ought to have a whipping yourself. You are the guy, you brother, you are the one, you ought to be the ruler of the house. God is holding you responsible for the way you are letting that girl go. So you see, one of our responsibilities is to bring up our children in the way of God, to tell them what is right, to tell them the scriptures, to teach them. Church, I do not believe in disciplining a child if you have not taught the child what is right and what is wrong. So we as parents have a duty to teach our children. We have a duty to teach them when it's time to pray, bow your heads and close your eyes. We have to teach them that.
if we don't teach them and they don't do that and you want to spank them, for what are you spanking them for? If you don't teach them to be in the right kind of company, there's a lot that lays on our shoulders. But Abraham told her, he said, when your children begin to get to that age where they are going out with opposite sex, he said, keep Christian boys with Christian boys. It's our duty as parents. But we've got to have put something in their mind, in their heart. They've got to see daddy praying. They've got to see daddy at the end of the day, gather the family together in the family devotion and pray as a family. They've got to see that. But when dad is too busy, no time for God, how do you expect the children to have time for God? Remember, those children are God-giving gifts to you. And God will require from your hands what you've done. And after we've done our best, and after we follow God's word, now we have a right to go before God and say, God, I've done all that you asked me to do. Yeah. Even though they seem to be wayward at this hour, I leave them in your hands. Amen. Then you have that courage and that boldness to go before God. Amen. I'm going to skip a lot of things this morning because of time. The prophet says an immoral thing for a woman to cut her hair. You'll find that in the Samuel seal of God. I won't go into that this morning. He said, in the Samuel position in Christ, he said, do you know, ladies, that it's wrong to wear slacks? So do you know that? Do you know it's wrong to cut the locks of your hair off? Do you know it's wrong, Mrs., for you to continue to smoke and act the way you do? Do you know it's wrong for you not to be the husband of your house? Your wife gets a little temper spell and kick you out the door, and you say, yes, bless her heart, honey. Did you get that? Did you get that? He said, I'll go back again. He said, do you know it's wrong for you not to be the husband of your house? Your wife gets a little temper spell and kick you out the door. And you say, bless her heart, honey, I will come right back. Does that make sense today? If that is what happens in the world today. Yeah. And that is why we keep stressing that we are not Americans. We are Christians. We don't let the spirit of America rule us. We are controlled and ruled by the spirit of the kingdom by which we come from. Amen. He said, do you know, how can you be a tender at the house of God when you can't even control your own house? He said, that's exactly right. Do you know, sister, that your husband is not only your husband, but he is your ruler? Brother Miriam, where are you getting that from? Position in Christ. Position in Christ. Do you know that your husband is not only your husband, but he is your ruler? See, church, we can connect all these dots. You see, it's coming down now. So when you, as a sister, is to get married to a brother, this man is going to be your ruler. So if he doesn't have what it takes to rule you, and what does it take? God-given character. That is why the prophet spelled it out. Don't look at these natural things. Look for character. It's not just only your husband, but your ruler. God said so. Because that the husband was not deceived, the woman was deceived. And you preachers will continue to make women pastors and preachers in your churches, knowing that the work of God condemns it. The prophet made a statement, or he said this, in Future Home, one of the responsibilities of a young man going into marriage is that you've got to be a provider. He said, now we are going to talk about it in a few minutes. The divine architect has prepared it, designed it. He designed it with his tender hands for his beloved bride. What's it going to look like? Could you imagine a man marrying a wife that's able Now he builds and puts every little thing just exactly to our touch. Just what she likes. He said, oh, you can have her, Bill. She said, go on. I'll be good to her. That was when the prophet talked to his then father-in-law about Sister Hope. He said, oh, you can have her, Bill. Go on. It will be good to her. Oh, my, I love him to this day. I said, Charlie, I can't make her a living like you do. Because the father-in-law was rich. And he knows that he's not that rich. But this is what he said. I can't make her a living like you do. I can't give her clothes like you can buy her. But I promise you this. I will love her with all my heart. I will work till my hands bleed to make her a living. I will work till my hands bleed to make her a living. So as a young man going to get married, you must remember your responsibility as a man of the house is to be a provider. But we find many today just sit back at home and let the woman be the provider. Shame on you. And I will be as true to her as I know how to be. He put his big hand over me, said, Bill, I'd rather you would have her and be good to her than somebody that had lots of money would treat her mean. I hope we are learning from that, church. I said, thank you, Charlie. In the Simon life story, the man is a decision maker and faces the consequence of it too. He said, I walked away, went down. She looked at me. Hope did. She said, Bill, that is my mother. You remember this story? I don't want to go to go of time now. She said, that is my mother, but I will go with you. I said, God bless her heart. She said, I will go with you. And I said, honey, I guess I'm carrying water on both shoulders. But I said, I don't want to hurt her feelings. What if something would happen to her and then she will be worried all your life? You broke my mother's heart. I said, maybe we will just put it off a little while. And friends, that's where I made the worst step I ever made in my life. Right there. We put it off. About a few weeks after that, things begin to happen. The floods came on later from that. And the first thing you know, wife got sick, Billy got sick doing that wrong. Right after that, little girl, just about 11 months different between Billy and her, was gone. Why? Because he promised the Lord that wherever you send me, if you make a way for me, I will go. And the Lord made a way for him. But his mother-in-law was against it. So in order not to get the mother-in-law upset, he put it on hold. And that's why the prophet warned us, when you make a vow to the Lord, keep your vow. Amen. The husband is the spiritual head and guide of his wife and children. In the sermon identification, he said, not to hurt your feelings, but you've known I've always stood for it. I don't agree with women ministers because it's not supposed to be that way. She is the weaker vessel. Now, we find that this woman was deceived by someone quoting her the word and just missed it a little bit. That's what caused all the trouble. That's the reason Paul said, let her keep silent in the church and not permit her to speak and so forth. Adam was not deceived. Adam knew exactly what he was doing. But his wife, doing the things that she was doing, persuaded him to partake of the forbidden. Why? He was a man. And it was so to him, you understand? He knew he was doing wrong, but he thought she was doing right. In the sermon, Jehovah Jireh, I can imagine. It was on a Sunday school when he spoke to him, maybe on Monday morning, how he's going to do. Poor little Isaac, he looks at him. Oh, he loves him. But I can't look at that. I got to think of obeying God. Amen. That is one thing a true child of God does not compromise. Is God's word. Amen. When God speaks, a true child of God, I've got to respond. Amen. He said, I only think of obeying God. So he couldn't tell Sarah. You know, that was Abraham now, when God told him to offer up Isaac. He couldn't tell Sarah because he knew what that is going to mean to Sarah. But Abraham knew that was God's instruction. He said, because you know the ladies are the weaker vessel. So you have to watch. So I can't tell Sarah because she will not understand. So you see the load that falls on the man on spiritual issues in his home. So how will it be to have a non-spiritual man as your head? Are you seeing that this morning? We're talking about responsibilities that follow marriage. Sarah never was too strong anyhow in the faith because she disbelieved the promise. But Abraham held her. Did you get that? Yeah. Abraham held her because the man and the woman are one. The woman could not be saved in the Old Testament only by the man because it was by circumcision. And she had to be joined to her husband in order to receive it. But in the last days, God has poured out his spirit and the women are circumcised in heart just like the man. Amen. A man is accountable for his wife's actions. In the sermon expectation. And how today that we've got away from that. They go to church. And this woman, she went into the church out there. She's done a very good job. She was a piano player. And after a while, she began to notice the women in her neighborhood begin to dress immodestly. How they get out and mow their yards with them little old clothes on. I believe there's none of them here tonight. It's a disgrace to you, sister. God be merciful to your sinful soul. What else would you do but an evil spirit full of lust? You don't want to think of that. That's exactly. The only person that ever stripped clothes in the Bible was a maniac. Say, put on your clothes and act like a lady. Your husband ought to be whipped for letting you do that in the beginning. So you see, you are responsible, accountable for your wife's actions. So then the first thing, now, she thought she would just get by with that because the rest of the women in the church was doing the same thing. She thought she would do it. She started to doing it also. That led on till they began to smoke cigarette. And she thought she smoked cigarette. And she continued playing. There was nothing said too much about it around the church. You say a man is to answer for his wife, solely responsible for his wife. I'm going to skip that because of time. I want to get to the part of the sisters too. And the prophet says something here. He said, in the sermon, you must be born again. I want us to watch this. And you women that take another man in your arm, you've marred that mold that you were taken from. Remember that. When you act like a man, you are out of your place. When you act like a man, you are out of your place. We find many women today act like men. Many women today talk like men. There is. Will you permit me to be free this morning? In the sermon, Invisible Union, Brother Abraham told us of three sacred virtues given to a woman. He told us about our motherhood, our womanhood, and her virginity. Those three sacred virtues. And he explained it to us what they meant. He said, our motherhood, he said, there's no other creature that have that motherly feeling for a child like a mother. And he went further to explain. So he said that was why in Egypt at that time, when they were to look for those soldiers that would kill the Israelite children, they had to look for women that have not had children, that have no motherly feeling. Are you getting me today? Now, he also spoke about the womanhood. He said the womanhood is your conduct around men. There is a conduct of sisters, or let me use the word ladies, around men. When you find a lady that always talk all the time, she always got something to say, she seems to be full of knowledge. Even if you are so much full of knowledge, if the Holy Spirit is inside of you, it helps you to know how to talk, amen, how to behave, how to react. Church, listen to me this morning. The Holy Ghost is not just what we talk about. The Holy Ghost is a life that you live. Amen. It's a life you live. When you find yourself always want to be bossy over men, it shows what is inside of you. I'm sorry if I step on your toes this morning, but it's the truth. Even though the responsibility of leadership lays on the man, that doesn't give you the opportunity or the right to mistreat your wife. That's right. Even though you know you are the head, that doesn't make you to be a bully. Even though you know that you are the head of the home, that doesn't give you the right to treat her anyhow. Amen. If you treat her anyhow, it's because you lack the Holy Ghost. That's right. Because if the Holy Ghost is inside of you, you will not treat her anyhow. Amen. Because she's part of you. Amen. You won't treat yourself anyhow. Church, you see, the word of God given to us is not just for knowledge, it's to be applied. Amen. We see this print. We see it manifested. We see it in life. Are you following me? So if you find yourself as a husband and you maltreat your wife, you cannot tell me that is God. Remember the scripture we read? Just as you have a natural wife, that is how we are his bride. Imagine if he treats us anyhow. And you women that take another man into your heart, I've read that. Oh, hold on, I'm not done. Listen. And when a man begins to get sissy too, babying and this, that and the other is out of his place. Yeah. He's the boss. He's the ruler. Now, I don't mean a floor mat. I just said a ruler. A helpmate. Not to kick women around. They are not to be floor mats. Your wife is not meant to be a doormat. But the Bible said, God in the creation, she shall rule over you. Not to be a boss, but a helpmate, part of you. She's sweet, kind, and tender. And you should lead her around sweetly. Yeah. Lead her around sweetly. Amen. Because she's part of you. Amen. If we all take this to our homes, it will be joy unspeakable in our homes. Amen. Lead her around sweetly because she's part of you. You go to mistreating her, then you are mistreating yourself. Amen. You do get that? Amen. And a man mentally right won't do that. A man that is mentally right will not do that. So if you find yourself mistreating your wife, it shows that there's something wrong with you upstairs. And when you are going to a relationship, you need to have confidence in your partner. You need to have trust in your partner. You need to be able to be rest assured of your partner. If you do not trust your partner, there is no point of getting married. And you need to love her more than any other woman in the world. I'm just skipping stuff because of time. You need to love her more than any other woman in the world. If there is a woman somewhere that you love more than your wife, well, maybe that woman is not meant for you. And if you don't truly love your wife better than any other woman in the world, there's something wrong. If you don't love your husband, if you travel on him and don't live the right kind of life, there's something wrong. So she will not be up there in the resurrection. You might have married him. You are living honorable to him. That's fine. I appreciate that. You should do that as a lady for your children and you men to your wives. You should do that. That's honorable. But you've got to come to a time that you love her and there's no one else that takes that place in your life. Mutual trust and confidence, and she must be a sweetheart to you. But Abraham narrated something here that I want to read real quick in the sermon, The Unchangeable Word of God. He said, like Paul Rader said when he left home one day, he said him and his wife were having a little fuse at the table. You remember the late Paul Rader that died down here in California? The graveyard of preachers, Los Angeles, all go in there and die. See, and when they come to that place there, when he left, said to his wife, they were having a little spat. He said, usually at the door, he will kiss her goodbye and go on to the gate. And then they will wave goodbye. Said, but that morning, he went to the door. She kind of had her head down, because they had a little disagreement. He said, he kissed her goodbye and went out the gate, waved goodbye. He started down the street and he happened to think, what if she died? What if something would happen to me? She's the dearest woman on earth. How I love her. I remember when I promised her at the altar, I will live true to her. All these things here, I always love, honor, and cherish. She said, see, God began to deal with my heart. You know, it was their normal way of life. When they live in the morning, they kiss each other, wave back down the street. But this morning, they had a little disagreement. So, though he still kissed her, and he went, he still waved at her. But things begin to happen in his mind. I'm leaving. What if she died before I get back? What if something happens to me? She's a very dear woman to me. See, God began to deal with his heart while he was living. He said, I remember when I promised her at the altar, and I said, oh, God began to deal with my heart. Back I went through the gates into the door, opened up the door, and said, Faye, where are you? She said, Brother Brown made a little sniff, like, you know, she doesn't want to answer, but she wants to make a sound for you to know where she is. He said, you know how women can do, you know, stand behind the door and kind of crying. Said, he looked over her like that, pulled her up the chin and gave her a great big kiss on the lips, turned around and said, bye. She said, bye. Remember the first time when there was a kiss, right? And there was a wave, right? But there was an unspoken problem going on. So even though the kiss and the wave was there, it wasn't the same. Are you getting me? And now God began to deal with his heart. Now he came back. Are you getting me now? Watch what he said. And I said, bye. She said, bye. He ran out the gate, looked around, and he looked back, she's standing at the door. And he said, bye, and she said, bye. See, she said, it just like she did at the first, but this last time, it was the same kiss at the first time. It was the same waving at the first time. He said, but this time around, there was a feeling attached to it. There was a feeling attached to it. So that's just why I like a handshake once that's got a feeling on it. You know what I mean? Shake Bro Kennedy. You know what I mean. One that has a feeling to it. That's how I like religion. One that's got a feeling that you've passed from death onto life. In a relationship, oh my goodness, in a relationship, there's going to be time. But Abraham told us that you're going to get discouraged at her. She will get discouraged at you. It's normal. It's not because the Holy Ghost is not there. It's just normal. Now, this is where the Holy Ghost comes in. The Holy Ghost comes in to resolve those issues. Amen. Do not let an unbelieving third party come in between you and your partner. Amen. That is why you have a pastor. That is why the pastor is there. Expel your thoughts to your pastor. When you can do all that you can, and it seems that you cannot level up, walk up to your pastor and say, Pastor, here is our issue. That is why God placed him there. Do not go talking to your co-workers. Do not go talking to your in-laws. You are protecting yourself for trouble. Many homes have been broken because of wrong counsel. Church, we have the word of God for our day. This word of God can resolve any problem that we have. The reason why it seems as if it's not effective in our life is because we refuse to apply that word. In the sermon, desperation. How can you have faith in your wife if you don't love her? You get that? How can you have faith in your partner, in your husband, if you don't love him? He said, now, that's filial. How about the agape love of God? How can it be if you don't love God? If you said you love your wife and you never tell her about it? Women need to wake up. Our wives, our partners, they want to hear that we love them. They want to hear when they go have their hairdo, they want to hear you say that hair is nice. When they dress up, they want to hear you tell them you look like a queen. We should know how to use positive words. A happy spouse. I've heard people say, you know, I told you I love you at the altar. The day it changes, I'll let you know. No, sir. Say it every day. Sometimes just take a deep look. Look at your spouse very well. Say, wow, you are this beautiful. You made her day. Amen. Trust me, all the problems that she has will all be, it will be worth it all. Just tell her you look beautiful. If you said you love your wife and never tell her about it, never sit down and make love to her, express it to her, kiss her, hug her, tell her that she's the best cook in the country. Those things are not just meant to smile about, they are meant to be practicalized. Church, even if our food is not that good, tell her. This is the best. You say, am I supposed to lie? No, you're not lying. You know what you've just done? You make her do better. You make her want to put more effort into it. But if all the time you are complaining, you are nagging, you are this, the thing about it when men are not good naggers. They're not good complainers. So if you are complaining and nagging to a woman, when she starts, hope you can handle it. He said, tell her she's the best cook in the country and all the things that you know and how pretty she is and how much you love her. If you don't do that, she will never know it. So that's the way. I know you do love her. You express it. Express it. Remember her birthdays. Remember the anniversaries. Many times we forget. Don't forget those things. Surprise her sometimes. It doesn't have to be something big. It might be as little as a $1 gift. It's the thought that counts. Listen. He said, when we love him, we tell him about it. When we sit down and adore him and worship him, love driving us to do that. One more quote before we finish. Time-tested memorial. I was talking about man losing their affection for their wife and don't love them as they did when they were sweethearts. Just shame on you. You ought to do it. She's always your sweetheart. Absolutely. That's the path she should be. And you should treat her like that. Never let that honeymoon cease. Never let that honeymoon cease. Because it's going to go to heaven, going to just perfectly one there. He said, never you let that honeymoon cease. The way you fell for her at the first time when you married her, it should be getting stronger. You know, as you grow together, as you live together, you begin to understand each other better. It gets to a time that you guys begin to think alike, say things alike. The prophet will say, even look alike. So never you let that honeymoon cease. When troubles come, don't go apart. Stay together. Amen. Keep the home in peace. God in the family. Amen. It will be a happy home. And even in our relationship with him, we need to love him more, worship him more, adore him more. Because why? He paid the price for us. Amen. He paid the debt he did not owe. I owe the debt. You owe that we couldn't pay, but he paid it for us. He granted us freedom, pardon, good health, joy. We owe it to worship him all the days of our life. May God help us. Shall we rise on our feet? I see Bro Ken at the back there. Can you please close us with prayers, Bro Ken? Amen. Amen. God bless you.